Do you sometimes find in your relationship that you feel that you're always giving? Do you find sometimes that it's even difficult to receive compliments or to receive praise? If so, today we're going to be talking about the balance between giving and receiving love, appreciation, and everything else in a relationship. If you'd like to find out more about this podcast, head over to therelationshipmazepodcast.com. And if you'd like to find out more about improving your relationship, head over to our website, therelationshipmaze.com. Welcome to today's podcast. And today we're talking about the balance between giving and receiving in a relationship.
Yeah, so why is that a problem? Why does there need to be a balance between giving and receiving? Do you think that sometimes people give too much love?
Well, this is something that I've experienced with people that I know and also people that I've worked with, is sometimes there seems to be, in my experience, and it'd be interesting to hear from you, is some people feel they always have to give, they always have to do. And it gets to a point where, you know, maybe voluntarily, they take on a lot of responsibilities, like doing everything for the kids, cooking, and going to work, whilst their partner, in their perception, does very little. And they feel like they're constantly doing everything, which can lead to resentment, it can lead to frustration. It can also lead to feel like they're not really cared about by their partner.
Yeah, it's really interesting. And it's this question of, is it just a perception? Yeah, is it a perception that they're giving too much, or are they giving too much? I suppose there's a bit of both sometimes. Sometimes people can feel that they are doing everything all of the time, or sometimes they can do it also because they feel that they have this internal drive that if they don't give all the time, then something terrible is going to happen. Yeah, so if I don't give anymore, then people won't like me. They won't want to spend time with me. They won't love me anymore. Are you thinking about that? Yeah, this sense of, you know, giving is associated with, giving love depends on whether you're lovable in return.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a bit of both. Is that, you know, sometimes it can be perception, but sometimes it's reality that the roles become imbalanced. And that's something else we can talk more about in another podcast, about how to make sure you balance out tasks and roles within a relationship. Because at different times, sometimes people will take on more because one person maybe has to do longer hours. But when somebody feels there's that need to do more constantly, and they feel I have to be doing, whether or not they are doing more, it's often found that they feel that they're doing a lot more and they're constantly having to do everything in a relationship. And ultimately, that perception that they're not really cared about.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think also, just up front, is also to, as you're listening to this, is not to think that can be a thing to say to your partner, well, it's just your perception that you do more.
No, sure.
Because, you know, it's about actually working out, first of all, working out actually what is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's interesting. No, I do recognise this phenomenon, and I recognise it from clients telling me that they feel like they're also too giving in friendships, for example. They're the ones who always arrange to meet other friends. They're the ones who kind of do everything to maintain the friendship, to make the phone calls, to care, etc. And it's really interesting because for me there's a sort of close association between being in this role of giving all the time and being a victim, being at the receiving end of other people's lack of interest somehow. So often it's interesting to kind of look at it from this perspective, that it puts you into this role of always being on a back footer, and putting other people, conversely, because you are always the victim, that also means that you put other people into the role of being the perpetrator. They're doing something bad to you, they're not doing enough, they're not looking after you enough, etc. So it can be quite problematic in that way.
Absolutely. And I think actually one key thing that just came into my mind now, which I probably would have said later, but I might forget, is, well, in some research, it has suggested and shown that actually doing and giving and contributing is a powerful thing for improving your self-esteem. But there's a key distinction here, which I think needs to be added, because it's not just about doing and giving. But for those things, it's about genuinely wanting to give and contribute without the need for appreciation. But just yes. doing because you want to help others, because you want to do something.
Rather, it's part of a deal.
Yeah, but this distinction is where you feel the need to give, or you feel the need to always be kind of arranging everything or doing the things for the other person. Mm. Because ultimately, what you really want is love or appreciation. Yeah. Yeah. Or to feel better about yourself. Where there's a fundamental, like a fundamental pain or a fundamental hurt that you're trying to heal.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's this idea of you're giving, the giving is is contingent on receiving love. That's the idea. That I have to give, I have to give. If I don't give, then other people are not going to give me.
Yeah, but you have to give to be loved rather than the fact that you can be loved because you're lovable. Yeah. And I think that's the thing in a relationship is ultimately, you know, to have that balance in a relationship, it's we have to feel lovable. And that's why in our course, The Relationship Maze, we start with knowing yourself. Mm. Because until you know yourself and those blind spots, you know, we may be doing these things without even realizing that, you know, even when somebody does love us, we can't acknowledge it. We can't feel it. Mm. We don't feel love because we have this thing within us that ultimately feels that we're not lovable.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, so we're kind of we're sort of turning giving into a problem here at the moment, aren't we? So obviously, just to be clear that it is great to give love to other people. It is absolutely great to do that. And of course, you have to, in particular in relationships. But it's when it sort of tips over into this kind of victimhood, I think that's when it's really tricky. And that's when, again, as Tom just said, that's when it's really relevant to reflect on why am I doing this? What's my motivation here? Is there, you know, where's this desire to always have to kind of overemphasize that I'm loving to other people or caring for other people? Where is that stemming from? Is it filling a void? Is it filling a gap that you have, so to speak? Is it tapping into your sense of, well, I'm ultimately not really that lovable, therefore I have to kind of compensate by loving more, giving more to other people? That's the only way that I can gain love from others. So does it, for example, does the need to always give excessively, so to speak, does it, for example, link to your attachment style? And we've talked about attachment styles in other podcasts before. Your attachment style, if you have an insecure attachment style in particular, an anxious, preoccupied attachment style, you are more likely to fill into this category of giving, 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 because you have this anxiety around if I don't provide enough for the other person, then they're not going to be there for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So absolutely to do with the attachment style and another kind of perspective as well. And we can talk more about attachment styles if you want to in a moment, is also an earlier podcast. We talked about transactional analysis, TA, and that sort of please others driver. And this often, you know, for me comes from the story that we have. So again, we might talk about stories in some of the work that we do, where, you know, we may develop this belief at an early age that, you know, that we have love is conditional. Mm. Like our parents may have said things or done things, maybe not maliciously, but things that they just said that we then experience as well. If I'm to be loved, I have to always be doing X, Y, or Z. I have to be doing all the chores around the house. I have to be, you know, I have to be looking after people. Yeah. And ultimately, that, you know, unless you do that, it feels like you're not going to be loved. So at some level, we felt that love is conditional. So throughout our lives, we may forget where this comes from. Mm. And then we experience that actually, you know, there's this drive within us to need to be able to doing things for other people and in relationships, because otherwise we feel, you know, we're not going to be loved. And as a result, unfortunately, it's a double-edged sword, because once you have this story or this belief that ultimately I'm only loved if I do, ultimately, or and actually even deeper than that, it's sometimes a deeper belief, which is ultimately I'm not worthy of love. I'm not worthy of being loved. I'm not lovable.
Yes.
And ultimately, if we have this limiting belief that we form at an early age, often before we really make sense to us, even when the other person gives us love, or we do so much, it feels like, you know, we're doing everything, and you know, it never feels like we're being loved, because ultimately that belief that I'm unlovable is never going to be changed, because, you know, it's there. It's fundamentally that belief. And until we work on that limiting belief, until we work on that self-image, no matter how much you do, no matter how much somebody actually shows you they love you or tells you they love you. Again, we talk about love languages, yeah, different ways we experience that. But no matter how they express it in whatever language, you will never feel loved if you have this underlying belief that you are unlovable or unworthy of love until you work on it. And you can change it.
Yeah, absolutely. Can, yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, coming back to the attachment styles, because obviously what you're describing there, that's very much the anxious, preoccupied belief system that, you know, you can't quite trust anyone to really give you what you ultimately need, or give you the love that you need, and you ultimately can't trust anyone to really be there present for you, because that's the old relational pattern that you experienced as a child, for example. So, but the good news is that this is adaptable, and we can learn. We can learn to trust, we can learn to love. And indeed, a lot of relationships are very healing in that way. They're an opportunity to heal this old wound that you might carry around with you from childhood. There is an opportunity for your partner to offer you and give you that love, and for you to receive it. But as Tom just said, it needs to be, we need to be open to that, and we need to acknowledge, first of all, that there is, that there is this old wound indeed, and that we can also trust ourselves, that we are lovable and adorable, that our partner really wants to be with us.
Yeah, and unfortunately that's easier said than done, because we can say, well, you know, you are lovable, you deserve love, but, you know, fundamentally one of the challenges, and actually just picking up on what you said, Angela, you know, one of the things we talked about in our podcast on attachment styles was, if you want to be more secure in your attachment style, if you're involved in a relationship with somebody who is secure, that can help.
Yeah.
However, I also do think that for many people, if not all people, if you fundamentally have that belief, you will never really feel totally loved, even if you are with somebody secure, until you've explored where this comes from.
Yeah.
Because I think, you know, at some level, we have this child part of us. So it's like we have this, you know, that young child, or at some point in our life where love felt conditional, or we felt we, you know, we were made to feel like we weren't worthy of being loved, whatever happened.
Yeah.
And as a child, it could be something fairly small, like, well, you know, if you don't do this, you know, your mother won't come back, or whatever it is that a parent said, maybe when they were in a kind of stressed mood or something. Yeah. And maybe the parent didn't mean to, maybe they, you wouldn't have said it if they weren't so stressed, but that made such an impact on us that that's really affected us all the way since. And now, as an adult, if someone said that to you, you'd just think, well, that's nonsense.
Yeah.
So the adult self can see that this part, you know, what was said then is actually, you know, it doesn't make sense. It wouldn't affect us now. But it's like this child part of us, that part is holding on to that message, which anytime we're in a relationship where something triggers that insecurity, it's like that child part becomes active, like, again, maybe in the transactional analysis model, and we experience almost that childlike feeling of I'm not worthy of love, or I'm not lovable. So it's somehow exploring where this comes from and finding a way to kind of relate differently to that story.
Absolutely, because it also enables us then to receive love in a different way. Because otherwise, if you can't quite trust the other person to be really there for you and to give you what you need, you're overlooking the signs that they're trying to actually give you love.
Yeah,
you can't take it in. You can't allow it in, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think, you know, I think as well with some people that I've worked with, and also just generally in my own experience, what's really important is to also learn to receive love, to receive affection, even to receive kind of compliments and kind of praise, because often that goes together.
Yeah,
it's not being able to receive even a compliment. And you know, many people I know will kind of, if they're complimented, will say things like, well, it's nothing, or anyone could do it, rather than just saying thank you. And I think I mentioned this in another podcast, but to me, one way to think about that is, and to learn to think about receiving love more, is actually by receiving, you're also giving. Mm-hmm. So say, for example, it's somebody's birthday or Christmas and you give them a present and they just say, no, I don't want that.
Yeah.
How do you feel as the giver?
Yes.
Yeah, you feel kind of like rejected. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when the receiver doesn't actually receive and show appreciation and actually just enjoy it, it affects both people. So also know that actually by receiving praise, by receiving love, you're also giving love as well.
Yes.
So, and I think, you know, one little thing that can be quite a powerful exercise is to take time with your partner and, you know, spend some time, whether it's 10 minutes, half an hour or whatever, just kind of relaxing in a kind of nice, in a time when you're able to relax, and maybe just taking turns to say to your partner what you love about them, what you appreciate about them. Mm. And as the person listening, just listen. Just listen and thank them and just allow yourself to feel what that feels like, to take that on board. And even if part of you feels, I don't know if I really believe that, just think, how would it feel if I did believe that? So what would it feel like, you know, if that really was the case?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And take really turns with that. Yeah.
Really, really lovely exercise. Because, well, first of all, a lot of the time, particularly if it's been a longer term relationship, a lot of partners don't exchange these kind of loving messages quite so frequently anymore or quite so overtly anymore. So it's a really lovely exercise to do, actually. Mm. And it's true. You will realize, a lot of you, not all of you, but a lot of you will realize that it's difficult to take it in sometimes, to take the love on board. It can almost feel a little bit, and again, it depends on your attachment style. If you're a little bit more on the avoidant spectrum of attachment, you might almost find it a little bit too much, to get love from your partner. You might experience some discomfort around that. You might not trust it, for example. You might think, well, what do they want? What's the deal here? Why are they giving me? Yeah, that's frequently an experience that I witness in couple relationships. So one partner giving a bit too much and the other one finding it overwhelming in receiving it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And if this can, like you said, with the victim triangle, so it was up to drama triangle.
The drama triangle, I got the name wrong, sorry.
Yeah. So it was drama triangle, you know, this can be created unconsciously by the person in that in the sort of supposed victim part, or it can be created by the perpetrator, because some people will in a relationship say, well, you know, if you really love me, you'd do this, maybe even jokingly, but the other person starts to feel the need to do these things. But in other situations, if you feel that you have to give, you give and give, and you put yourself in that role. And then you may complain to other people or complain in your mind and actually become the perpetrator as well. So you put yourself into kind of both roles, depending on the context that you're in.
Yes, absolutely. These roles, and we haven't really introduced this properly, but this is, we're referring to Cartman's drama triangle, where we have where we have the role of the victim, the perpetrator, and the rescuer. So what we're talking about here are predominantly roles of victim and perpetrator, and they very often switch. Yeah, so you can easily, from a victim, become the perpetrator. If you then say to your partner all the time, well, because you can't receive love, you then go to your partner and say, well, you're not giving me enough love, I'm not hearing enough, you're never enough, so to speak. That's a very frequent attack. That turns the victim into a perpetrator. So this kind of dynamic very often plays out in relationships.
Absolutely. So again, you know, what else can you do? You know, we talked about one little exercise. You know, fundamentally, I think it really involves going into your own story and kind of finding where this need to give comes from. And that can be challenging. In fact, you may really need to do this with a therapist. Also with our course, The Relationship Maze, on the first stage, we spend time helping you to look at yourself and to gain some of that insight. And it can take time, and it can also be challenging when you start to look at that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's uncomfortable, isn't it?
It can be. And sometimes, though, it's something that when you realise it, you think, really, was that it, that's the reason why why I had this. And it was just some little thing that was said that now you think, well, actually, that's ridiculous. But but at the time, it meant so much when you were like 6 or 7 or whatever age you were. But now when you realise that sometimes it isn't such a big thing, but it affected you so much then. But, you know, finding where that originated and finding a different way to relate to it in a more adult way, as opposed to always going back into that child way of reacting, it is really important.
Yes. It's about sort of developing this kind of helicopter perspective that you notice a response, for example, you notice that you feel disappointed with your partner because they're not giving you enough. You notice that and you kind of step away from it, so to speak, and look at this feeling that gets generated here, and you get a bit of a you create a bit more distance in your responses and see, well, why am I responding in this way? What's really playing out here? That's ultimately what we want to always work towards, to be able to step away a little bit more from what you're experiencing, and that will enable you to have a different response to the same situation.
Absolutely. And this plays out, as Angela said, I think you said, not just in relationships, but it could be in work, it could be in your social life, in really any area of life. So one other thing, just to take away and have a think about, not just that exercise about expressing love to each other, but also notice how you respond when people do say something nice to you or compliment you. And start to think about, if you tend to shy away from kind of accepting it or kind of like just making an excuse for not taking that compliment, like, well, no, you know, it's nothing or whatever. Also with compliments, just acknowledge it, say thank you, and know that that appreciation is also allowing the other person to feel good. So just knowing in yourself that it's okay. Accepting a compliment is not being arrogant. That's different. That's when you kind of think, well, I'm the best. And maybe, you know, maybe you're not even getting compliments, but you just think you're the best when, you know, other people would certainly not say that. But when somebody acknowledges what you do, that's time to just take that on board and kind of just allow yourself to take that and thank them for that, or just, you know, have that good feeling that you get.
And you're raising a really important point, because I think a lot of the time, many people don't take compliments on board because they feel almost like, you know, it's this idea of pride comes before the fall. It's something that I've heard a lot, particularly with clients who've grown up in a Catholic environment. This idea that you mustn't be too proud, or you mustn't your head mustn't become too full of yourself. So we take on all these messages as well, and we try to be modest sometimes in a way that's not helpful.
Yeah, and modesty doesn't mean not accepting compliments and praise, because there are things that we're good at, and it's good to know what you can do, but also know we can always be more as well. So just the fact that we acknowledge something doesn't mean that we can't develop, we can't grow, because we're always growing. But actually, just acknowledging as well within yourself, there are certain things that you do, and that's really good to acknowledge that to yourself. And it's not about being proud, about being arrogant.
No.
Although, if actually feeling proud can be fine.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's different. That's different from being arrogant.
Good.
Great. So, yeah. So, again, if you want to find out more about this podcast and you want some extra notes about this show, go to therelationshipmazepodcast.com. Please press subscribe now if you haven't already, and share this episode with anybody that might benefit.
And leave us a nice review. We're still waiting for these reviews. That would be really nice to have someone say some nice words. If you found it helpful, then please do let us know. That would be great. Great feedback for us, because we also like to receive, don't we?
That's right.
So we look forward to seeing you next week. Take good care.
Bye. I hope you enjoyed this week's podcast. If you'd like to find out more about creating great relationships, go to therelationshipmaze.com. And I look forward to seeing you there. And remember to tune in to the next podcast.